Welcome to the Talking Nutrition Podcast, where twice a week, you'll learn about all things health, fitness, and mindset. I'm your host, Yoel Investors, and it's my goal to simplify nutrition, provide you with actionable strategies, and teach you repeatable systems so you can create real results at last. Now, real quick, you won't find any crazy restrictive diets or quick fixes here, and the stuff that we talk about is basic, easy to apply, and effective. However, the only way to create change is by putting what you learn into action. Now go ahead and grab yourself a coffee, pour me one while you're at it, and let's dive into the episode. What's up and welcome back to the Talk Nutrition Podcast. Today we are back with the second part of our nutrition Q&A. So last week we did the first part of the Momentum March Challenge Q&A, where the first week we talked about all things nutrition. What I'd like to do with these challenges is dive into the specific questions that people may have. Sure, it's cool to do challenges where we have a daily task, and we do that, right? We have a nutrition component, we have a movement component, as well as mindset. But then what's even more important is giving our participants access to really just coaching. If you think about it, it's actually free coaching. That's why I like these Q&A sessions, because that is where we can really connect and we really get to discuss the things that you, the listener, may also be dealing with. So that being said, let's get into the second part of our nutrition Q&A. The next two Thursdays are going to be training focus, and then we have two episodes on mindset. So we're going to be busy for a little while. Enjoy the Q&A. Plus, if you're not a member of our free group yet, make sure to jump in, because that is where we launch these challenges. So feel free to jump in, and then I will talk to you very soon. Ilva says, why is it so difficult to make good food choices over time in relation to your own long-term goals? I mean, that's why I have my full-time job, because it is difficult, right? If you think about it, it's easy. Now, okay, sorry, I'll take that back. It's simple, not easy. Because the changing your habits, that's the difficult part. We've been doing things for years and years and years and years and years, a certain way, right? We're so used to our habits, our behaviors. Guess what the brain does not like? It doesn't like change. Why? And this is directly like that stepping out of your comfort zone, right? Your brain wants to keep you in that comfort zone. Why? Because we're wired that way for survival. Because it's safe, we're familiar, we know our surroundings, right? The body doesn't want to even change. Like it doesn't even want to lose or gain weight. It just wants to keep things the same, right? Just kind of stay at that baseline. So guess what your brain's also going to do at some point? Like once you start to step outside of that comfort zone, it's going to be, right? It's going to try to pull you back. Because now all of a sudden you're changing something. And of course, there's more to it. But it's a process. And I want to paint a picture. You know what? I got to pull something up, not over here anyway. I want to show you guys, because this is a little bit related to pretty much anything you guys want to do when it comes to making change. And let me pull this up. This is a block from a little bit ago, comfort zone to growth. Okay, let me pull this up for you guys. And we're going to dive in a little bit of self-development, I guess. And there is a image that I thought I had up here. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to pull it up here from Google to growth. Because you know what, guys? I didn't come up with the image. I just pulled it from Google because I saw it in an Instagram post. And then there we go. So, and let me see real quick. There we go. Yep. Alrighty. Let me open this in Zoom. Zoom, zoom. Share my screen. Yes. From comfort zone to growth. We're not going to dive into this too much, but guys, look at this. Comfort zone. It's safe. Like I said, you're relaxed. It's low risk. You're in control. You are currently doing things the way you've been doing for a long, long time. This is kind of like why things are difficult, because once you step out of that comfort zone, right, you're going to feel not confident, right? But you're also going to be very problem focused, because it's like, why can't I do this? Why is it so difficult? We come up with excuses. We're very influenced by others, because we, like the second we get that comment from our colleague, it's like, you're tracking your calories. I could never do that. I tried and you know, it didn't work for me. Yeah. Guess what? They didn't get the guidance. They were not shown how to do it properly. That's why they couldn't do it. It's not the tracking that's the issue. But okay, that's the fear zone. And guess what? That comfort zone, right? Just like gravity, because you see the arrow here, there should really be an arrow back. Just like the Earth has a magnetic field, that comfort zone is trying to pull you back. There's a lot of resistance here. Now, once you get a little further, because here's the hard part, you just have to keep going in order to actually, right? Going back to that word momentum, that's why we're here, guys. You may not even feel like you're making progress. You have to keep going, because then you get into the learning zone. Now you start to kind of solve your problems. Your comfort zone is actually extending what was new and difficult and weird, different, whatever, is now, hey, it's actually not too bad. Your skills are improving too. You're taking on new challenges and you're looking for opportunities to grow. So this is kind of like where you're really starting to kind of get more and more momentum. And then we get to growth. And this is where your self-esteem is high. This is where you find purpose. You have a vision and your motivation is high, right? We're achieving goals. There's growth and we're setting new goals. You see this here, motivation. You see that that only shows up here. And I know your question wasn't about motivation, but it takes stepping out of your comfort zone, going through the fear zone, which is hard, right? There's a lot of pulling back there. And as you get further from that comfort zone, right, there's less resistance, just how, the Earth magnetic field works. But then we have to learn that once you get here to growth, right, that's when you're really expanding. Make sense? That's when motivation shows up. And that process, getting to that point, takes a while. Why is it so difficult? I mean, we're so used to doing things a certain way. Like your brain literally needs to make new connections when you start to learn a new behavior. And we're not going to get too much into neuroscience here. And by no means am I a neuroscience specialist. But think about it this way. There's like little connections, right? And when you've done something over and over and over again, that connection is really strong, right? It's ingrained in like who you are. Now all of a sudden I'm going to try to do this healthy behavior, which I'm really not used to doing. It doesn't even, automatically come up in my mind. I need a coach to tell me to do this. I need the accountability. I need to start tracking. I have a little checklist so that I start doing that healthy behavior, starting with, water, for example, going back to, creating new habits. Now, when you start to practice or execute that new healthy behavior, you start making that new connection in your brain. Like your brain's actually making new connections. It's really cool if you think about it. But you have to do that over and over and over and over again for that connection to actually be solidified and become like a strong new connection. As the old connections kind of like weaken out. Make sense? And that's why it's so difficult. It takes time. But a big one there is going to be accountability, right? A big one is accountability. It's investing in a coach. It's investing in a program. And yes, I'm biased, but I'm saying this from like, I've been spending thousands of dollars ever since I started coaching. I had a mentor my first month of coaching, right? Why? Because I believe in that shit. I believe in the accountability. I believe in investing in yourself. So this is not me pitching or selling. This is me being like, hey, I know that a big part of creating change is having a guide, like a Sherpa, a mentor, whatever you want to call it, a coach, right? Having or a role model. This could be a friend or family member, by the way, but having someone on your journey who can show you the ropes, who has made the mistakes before you, who can keep you from making the same mistakes, but who can push you to keep going to eventually get to a point where you start to notice the momentum. And now it's like, hey, you know what? It felt difficult, but actually really wasn't too much. That's when your comfort zone expands. I know that was a bit of a rant. Karina says, why are complex carbohydrates something you should focus on in the period before menstruation? Should one eat more carbohydrates than usual during menstruation when doing heavy strength training? Big one to unpack. I'm going to give the general answer, and that is don't worry about this stuff. It really doesn't matter. There are changes in the female body, obviously, with the the natural ebb and flow of hormones. And by the way, this goes for actual, like a natural cycle, right? If women are on the pill, you don't have a normal cycle, this already goes out the door, which is something people don't know. Like a pill bleed is not menstruation. That's a withdrawal bleed, basically, from the medicine, right? But that's a whole different topic. When it comes to the changes, the natural changes, the natural ebb and flow, yes, there are physiological changes. However, it's going to be different per person. The symptoms are going to be different. And doing this will only overcomplicate stuff. And we do not have to change anything nutrition or training related based on the menstrual cycle. Hey, what's up? Sorry to interrupt. I promise I'll keep it short. As you already know, we don't do ads here, and I really just do this podcast out of passion for helping everyday people like yourself learn more and get results. Now, because I do this absolutely for free, would it be cool to ask you for a quick rating on Spotify or Apple? You can do it while you're listening. It really just takes a few seconds, and it would actually mean the world to me and help us grow the show and reach more people like you. Thank you so much. Now let's get back to the episode. However, let me put it this way, because you mentioned heavy strength training, you should be eating your carbs anyway. Makes sense? Let's talk about cravings. Hey, we know what helps against cravings, what battles cravings. It's eating a high protein diet, eating lots of color, micronutrients, right? Because those foods, the fruits and vegetables, those are very filling. So I'm more of a fan of saying, okay, are we dealing with a lot of cravings, etc.? Okay, let's tackle that by having filling foods, which we should be doing anyway, by eating a high protein diet. Hey, do we feel more tired? Okay, hey, maybe let's allow for a little bit more rest. But don't base it on your menstrual cycle itself, because you may just be making changes without even needing to do so. Because again, it's to be honest with you, it's not worth the focus for most people. It's not going to be the thing that makes or breaks your results. And complex carbs are just generally better anyway. Why? More micronutrients, more filling, more fiber. So again, it's the basic principles that we should be practicing anyway. Make sense? And yes, there's a change in metabolism. There's a change in insulin sensitivity, those kind of things. But it's, again, don't worry about that. Like, just base the nutrition on the goals and stuff. And of course, you work with Alexandra, so she'll be taking care of that for you. But it's not something that needs to happen. Siv says, let me see real quick how many questions we still got. Okay, we got a bunch of photos. Okay, awesome. Let me try to run through this a little bit quicker, because I'm again, not great at giving quick answers. Alrighty, so also, by the way, guys, if you are watching live or the replay and this is taking a long time, I will just make sure that this goes to everyone's email anyway, so that if you need to, you can watch this in parts as well. I will put it on YouTube so that you can watch it at 1.5 speed if you need to. So Siv says, I have a job with a lot of stress and time limits. When it's really hard, I tend to want food and bad choice snacks as comfort. What is good comfort snack when I'm in a tough place? Is it, or it's better now when I have better nutrition during the day? It's not the comfort, like finding the comfort snack is not going to do the trick here. We need to address the root cause, because stress and time limits. I'm sharing this because it comes up with my clients all the time. They're not bad things per se. They're just reasons for us to figure things out either way. It goes back to planning. Because it's not the stress, it's not the time limits, it's how well do we prepare for the busy times, for the stressful times. To be honest with you, my Mondays and Tuesdays are packed. Like, I'm literally just working all day. Still got shit done. Still get my nutrition in, right? I still get to go to the gym, etc. But the nutrition, that's just already taken care of. I pre-track, I prep, etc. It's just done. Makes sense? So it goes back to planning. So don't look for the ideal snack. Try to be proactive in preparing for the next time you are stressed, when you are busy, etc., so that you can still be successful. Signe says, greens in powder form, what are your thoughts? Are they as good as nutritious as fresh vegetables? Or should one eat their vegetables and gain volume in your food intake, or to gain volume in your food intake? Yeah. Green powders are, they're okay. They're okay. They're a little bit better, maybe, than most multivitamins. A lot of marketing too. And there's a lot of influencers who are being paid a big cut to promote that shit. And I'm talking the bigger podcasts. When you see the Athletic Greens, like the people promoting that, they get a big cut because I know people who have that deal. But anyway, that's not the point. It's not going to replace vegetables. It's not. It's not the same. And we all need the fruits and veggies in their natural form. Now, is it nice to have that as maybe a little bit of a bonus? Sure, why not? Why not? If you want, and it's the same with the multivitamin, if you want to make sure, of course. But you should be eating your fruits and vegetables anyway. Ingrid says, easy fuel after a workout. So that's a really nice one too. We have some more foods here as well. Okay, so nutrition question from Ingrid. I tend to be a lot more hungry during the evening, especially if I have worked out. How can I get control of this craving of food? Look at the rest of the day. I actually have a free guide on, it's called the Late Night Crave Crusher. Sorry. You know what? It's in this group. Go to the guides section and you'll see it's a free download. The Late Night Crave Crusher. Sorry. It's a mini training. It's usually lack of protein, lack of fiber. It could be stress and sleep related too. But usually if it's in the evening, it's because of what happens during the day up until that point. And of course, hey, like, shoot me a follow-up question. I'm happy to kind of chat about this. And then we have a lot of photos, which is great. Love that. Jenny says, a beautiful walk before the snow. A question I have is, how many calories in is enough? I don't know that. It's going to depend on many, many factors. It's going to be your height as well as weight and those kind of things. But it doesn't end there. What about diet history? How much muscle do you have? What's your activity like? There are so many factors that I cannot answer that question, but I will message you to kind of help you out, figure that out. We have more photos. We have lunch. Love it. Steph says, when I have a busy day, I'm not always able to get my calories in as planned. Should I try to eat or drink them in the evening or stick to the plan and go short? I tend to eat less than I really need to fuel my activity a lot. I am beginning to realize this is one of the reasons. So Stephanie is one of my clients. We've been working on eating more and more and more. And she's very active. Does CrossFit, a lot of running. So we're really making sure we get those carbs up. And for someone like Stephanie, it's hard to eat enough. And trust me, guys, I've seen more people struggle eating enough than actually eating less in a deficit because we're losing fat. Because, right? I get it. And especially when you're busy. Stephanie is very busy. But Stephanie, I'd much rather see you actually drink it. Yes. But it kind of goes back to, hey, what can we do instead to avoid this from happening? Okay. We're not always able to get it in. What about breakfast before your day starts? Can we really get a big breakfast in then? Can we, going back to the smoothie that we talked about earlier, you know, one of the first questions, can we maybe have one so that no matter how busy we are, we can quickly have a drink? Make sense? It's about, again, we talked about this all the time. It's like plan, execute, reflect so that we can plan again. We can execute again and we reflect and we always keep growing. Ilva says, how would you proceed if, for example, you were going to eat dinner at a buffet, hotel breakfast, and you knew you had a tendency to overeat? Often end up eating way too much, both because it's good and because I get weird this weird idea that now I have a chance, if that makes any sense. Yeah, it does, Ilva. It actually does make a lot of sense. Do you have any tips here? She says, I have a good appetite, by the way. Yeah, me too. Who doesn't love a good buffet, you know? It's one of those where if, like, there's, we could really, like, again, this would be a whole podcast. And let me see, because we have a lot of questions. Also, guys, I understand if you have to go, and we have more questions to go, but I understand if you have to go, just go come back to this, replay if you need to. I will post it in the comments. I will tag everyone, and I'll post it in the group as well, so you can watch it at 1.5 speed. But we are going to finish. I will stick around as long as you guys need me to answer all the questions. So I don't want to skip anyone's questions. I will ask everyone to only submit one question for the upcoming call, because we definitely have a bunch of double ones and we have a lot of people. Yeah, so Ilva, very good point. There's a lot of tactics here, and I always want to take it back to, hey, what are my intentions going in? So obviously the intention is not to overeat. Okay. What does the rest of the day look like? Because we can, move our calories a little bit, like, smartly, so that we can maybe accommodate. Maybe we can do a bit of calorie cycling even, right? If you're tracking. That being said, are we even going to track? Probably not. So let's just start there with those kind of things. Unless you're cutting, right? We're supposed to be able to have these flexible moments, but it's a process, and I cannot give one answer. And this is, I just said it already. I want you to plan. I want you to first reflect. Let's start there. I want you to, next time you go, I want you to reflect and think, last time when I overeat, what could I have done better? And what was maybe good? Hey, maybe I did have my protein, or I hit a lot of steps that day. Okay, cool. Look at what went well, and then look at what can be done better. Hey, okay, so I didn't really eat a lot of vegetables, or maybe I could have had more. Okay, let's try that now. So we reflected on our past experiences. Now we're going to create a plan, and then we're going to execute. And guess what? It might still not be perfect, and that's okay. Maybe you nail it, and that's also great, of course. Maybe it needs a lot of work. Anything in between. But that's okay, because you cannot fuck up. You can't fail. You could either grow or learn. Guess what? After executing, we're going to reflect again. We're going to do that same thing. What went well? What needs more work? Okay, amazing. Now we can reflect. Make a new plan. We keep going like that. To give you a few general tips, if you know you're going to go out for food and you tend to overeat, or you go to a party or something, I like having some protein, like a serving of protein before you go to one of those kind of things, so that you feel a little bit full, so that you're not going in super hungry, because that's a big one. I did just talk about like accommodating calorie wise, but also don't go in super hungry. Makes sense. Don't like not eat in the morning and then be starving once you go in. Like, no, you want to, right? Get a bit of protein in. There you go. That being said, eat slowly, chew your food. And I mean, 20 to 30 times per bite. That's something people don't do. Sit down and actually savor and like enjoy your food. Because guess what? When you eat slowly, you give your body and brain more time to communicate. And then you will actually realize when you're full sooner. Maybe beforehand, drink a glass of water. Don't overdo it, by the way, because you also don't want to lower stomach acid too much. But include your veggies. Hey, maybe don't scoop up too much. I get it. I'm notorious for these kind of things too, I could keep eating, honestly. This is where periodization comes in too, even. Hey, what kind of day do we plan for? Like, are we supposed to be maintenance? Okay, like, we can get away with quite a bit, especially if we're active, but it's not a free pass, you know what I mean? Get your protein in, get your veggies in, eat slowly, be mindful, put your fork down, have conversations, right? Try to, when you're eating, like, try to pace yourself to the slowest eater at the table. That's a big one for me. And again, chew your food, like, that's a big one, but be mindful. In the moment, beforehand, and even do mini check-ins with yourself. Hey, you know what? Use it as a trigger. Say, hey, before I go for seconds, what actually do I want to feel like, not just now, but also right after, as well as tomorrow? Create awareness. Be mindful in the moment. Catherine says, looking for other go-to high-protein snacks that are easy for on the go. I work in a medical field and crash between breakfast and lunch. Okay, so we want to find something very good that you're aware there. So it's like, hey, I know that I crash between breakfast and lunch. I need to find something. You already do yogurt, cottage cheese, protein shakes, etc. You're going, you need a new high protein snack. So those will be some of my go-tos. So the protein shake you could turn into a smoothie. Other than that, like I'm a big fan of just a quick, like a salad, like throw something together. If you want to have easy wrap stuff, I mean burritos or just tacos, like wrap things up, get a nice, like whatever, maybe something like a I really like sriracha mayo, so I would do like a tortilla with sriracha mayo, lean ground beef, throw in like whatever veggies you want, maybe some avocado. It's a really easy to prep kind of thing, and it's going to be nice, you know what I mean? It's easy to kind of take with you as well. So I'm a big fan of wraps in general, and you can have so much variety in there. All righty, let's see. A lot of questions, a lot of good stuff. So again, guys, make sure to drop one question for next week. Karina says, how to track food easy when I'm staying in a hotel. I find it difficult to predict weight quantity. That's going to be part skill, like how the more you do it, the better that's going to be. It's part planning. Hey, okay, when we're at a hotel, should we be tracking, yes or no? What phase are we in? But it will become easier with time. And this is something to work on with your coach. It's, hey, we're going to have to start playing with different scenarios. And this goes back to right, what I just said. Hey, with some people we track, some people we don't. It really just depends. And when you go through our course, right, in the portal, you'll go through the special scenarios training at some point where I talk about this stuff. It's like, hey, going in, what do you want to do? Make sense? But it's a skill, and you get better at any skill just by doing. Christine says, when I make dinners with four servings, for example, fish, stew, or big bowl of salad, it's difficult to estimate exactly how many grams. It's not, but I'll answer your question. I consume of the various ingredients. How can I log this in chronometer most effectively? Is entering the recipe and dividing it in four a good approach? Yes, it is. That would be one way to do it, but I would only do that if you have the same recipe over and over again. Otherwise, you're just adding recipes and it takes more work. To be honest with you, how much fish are you throwing in? How much of whatever ingredient? You just got it close enough. And I can say this for because I do this on a regular basis. I'm cutting as well as now. And I will say this, of course, I've been doing this for a long time. So, right. But once you standardize stuff, it becomes very easy to make these changes. To give you an idea, every Tuesday, Wednesday, it kind of changes, but like we make pasta, right? So I throw in a pack of green, lean ground beef, which is 400 grams, tomato sauce, right? Onions, a bit of garlic. Usually we eat a grate carrots or, we do some peppers, whatever it is. We change it up. And then we have pasta. Now, let me just stick to the sauce part because that's what you're kind of asking here. I just kind of eyeball, okay, you're making four servings. Okay. That means that whatever's going in, if it's 400 grams of fish and you have one serving, it's 100 grams of fish. Makes sense? When it comes to the salad, don't overthink it because those things like the lettuce, etc., that's so low in calories, you can get away with way more, like roughly getting it. Of course, the more we do that, the more inaccurate things will become. But when it comes to veggies, keep it simple. Salad, in a pinch, you can even just log it as, tossed salad, whatever it is. Try to keep it accurate though. But again, with the fish too, right? Look at the ingredients. Hey, if you eat one serving and you're throwing in literally like just, for four people, just get it close enough. A pack of 400 grams, like I said, divided by four is 100. That's one way to do it. It's mostly just, it's not necessarily difficult. We just haven't figured out how to do it effectively yet, if that makes sense. Let me now see how many we've got. Linda, can you provide advice on how to navigate social events or dining out while maintaining a healthy diet? Yes, because dining out, social events, those have to be part of a healthy diet. I'm just feeling my camera, my phone, if it's not overheating. No, it's good. I think we, when we say healthy, we sometimes forget that the flexible moments have to be part of that. I think we sometimes forget that the more processed foods, the even the drinks, the whatever, can be part of that. It probably should be, because what makes it sustainable is probably also being able to include those more flexible moments. We have a whole training in our course for clients. Like, it's like, hey, the special scenarios, we talk about it in two settings. It's like your evenings out, your weekends, whatever, but then even vacations, holidays, whatever. Like, how do we go about that? The goal is not to be perfect. The goal is to just make better choices most of the time and have our whole foods, so that when we go out, we can, first of all, have some flexible stuff. As we work through that framework I just shared a few times, you plan, right? You execute, you reflect, you keep working on it, and then you eventually figure it out. But what's going to work is going to be different for everyone. It kind of depends who you're with, where you're going, etc. But again, let's try not to see healthy and social settings as separate, but let's make them one, like, part, like one, connected part of like an overall healthy and sustainable diet. And especially because you mentioned, hey, I'm maintaining, that's much easier, because at maintenance, especially, it's a range, right? We're kind of like hanging within that. When you eat a little bit more, your body does a really good job of burning more calories, and it's even on subconsciously. And when you eat less, your body does a really good job, of just burning a little bit less. And like I said, usually we don't even notice that. So maintenance is actually very easy to be more flexible. Debbie says a lot of stress this week, and I tend to go for comfort foods, anything to help curb the urge and that will give me energy. Yes, it's a big one. Like, it's part. I know I talk about reflection a lot here, but it's part reflecting on the moments we give into stress, and then creating it, what's called an if-then plan. If you create an if-then plan, you can say, hey, if this scenario comes up again, then I will do this. Make sense? So we're going to use it as a trigger, so that next time I can come up with a plan. And it really doesn't matter. Like, it could be anything. Are we still going to give in to stress sometimes? Yeah. Because stress and self-control don't go hand in hand. And we could talk about this more when we do mindset maybe last week. But I'm going to say, knowing that we are dealing with a lot of stress, let's do the planning required so that we can set ourselves up for success, so that we don't have to curb the urge, but because we're already prepared. Makes sense. I think the risky thing is when we have to make decisions and choices in the moment when we are stressed. So the better we can prepare for the stressful and busy moments, right, the more successful we're going to be, and the less we really need to worry about that. Because again, it just reinforces, like, hey, okay, I'm prepared now, especially when you have an if-then plan. Okay, boom, right? It's a process. Stina, and that's actually the last question for today. So, any advice on how to avoid binge eating on the weekends? Yes. Look at the trigger. What is it? And I ask my clients too, is like, hey, like, are you open to dive into this a little bit deeper? This is, it can be psychological. It can be, hey, like, are you actually just restricting during the whole weekend, right? And we're kind of overcompensating. I've had, a lot of people move away from binge eating, especially on the weekends, but also there, it's a process. But I want to know what the root cause is before I can actually give an answer. Because especially there, it could be, it's like, I mean, you can go to the group, it's in this group. You go to the guides section, which, by the way, guys, there's a lot of free stuff in there, but it's called the Late Night Crave Crusher Guide. The same principle applies to a certain extent. It's like, what does the diet look like? Are we overcompensating? Are we overly restrictive during the week? And what are we doing? But most importantly, like, what's the trigger? That's what I'm trying to ask and get to here. So that is it for our questions for this week. I see that people are still watching. We've been going for 1 hour and 10 minutes. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for sticking around. This has been super cool. I know this was a very long call, definitely longer than expected, and that's okay. You know what? I'm happy to stick around for you. And you know what? We could keep going, but I'm not going to because I actually need to eat. And then I'm going to get some sleep. And then I got to work tomorrow. So either way, thank you for being so involved in a challenge. It's already been so fun. Apologies for the delay with the form and all that, but we figured it out. It's finally fixed. You should now be getting your automatic reminders. But guys, keep going. Like I said, we're not expecting perfection, just momentum. Just keep showing up. Next week, one question per person. And I'm gonna do my best to give shorter answers because I talk too much. I know that. So have a great evening, great rest of your day. I appreciate every single one of you. Thank you, and then I'll talk to you very soon. All right, that's it for today. As a thank you for sticking around, I'd like to send you a free copy of my ebook, The Definitive Fat Loss Nutrition Guide. Honestly, if you like the podcast, I'm sure you'll love the ebook. So if you want it, all you need to do is either click the link in the show notes or DM me on Instagram at johanvesters_OCS, and I'll personally send it to you. Thanks again for listening to today's episode. I'll talk to you soon.